This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها الإخوة الكرام السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبعد نسأل الله تعالى أن يتقبل منا ويغفر لنا ذنوبنا ويكفر عنا سيئاتنا نسأله بعلم نافع ورزق واسع وعمل صالح متقبل ونستعين به وإليه أنيب ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds, peace and blessings on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After saying salams to you, we ask Allah to forgive us, to blot out our sins, to help us, to sustain us and nourish us with beneficial knowledge and understanding and wide sustenance, and to give us the tawfiq for good deeds which are acceptable to Him. To Him is our return, and to Him we repent, ilayhi nunib. There is no power and might except that of Allah. Hadith number 26, a very quick reminder. Hadith of Abu Huraira in Imam Nawawi's. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل سلامة من الناس عليه صدقة كل يوم تطلؤ فيه الشمس. Every joint of a person on it is a sadaqah every day the sun comes up. Ta'dilu bayna ithnain sadaqah, making good between two people is a charity. Wa tu'inu rajul ila fi dabbatihi wa tahmiluhu 'alayha, to help a person onto their mount or to carry them onto it. Aw tarfa'u lahu 'alayha mata'ahu sadaqah, or to lift up his or her belongings onto it is a charity. Wal kalimatu tayyiba sadaqah, and the good word is a charity. Wa bi kulli khatwatin tamshiha ila salah sadaqah, every footstep that you take towards salah is a charity. Wa tumitul adha an at-tariq sadaqah, and to remove something harmful from the road or path is a charity. Rawahu al-Bukhari wa Muslim. So we've covered most of that. We were looking then, as Ibn Rajab also mentioned, and I went with it further, at extra duties aside from these. Remember, we said this list isn't limited, it's endless, because kullu ma'ruf, every good is a sadaqah. But we talked about other ahadith, especially for Muslims, the rights and duties for Muslims upon Muslims, where the Prophet ﷺ in Bukhari mentioned 5, the narrator, the other one in Muslim, mentioned 6. Again, it's not limited list, but it's summarized. Yeah, some of the key duties are here. And we mentioned them. The one with the 6 is perhaps the best one to mention, because it takes on another one, which was missed out from the one that mentions 5. It adds to the 5. They're not separate 6. They're the 5 plus 1. Yeah, if you understand what I'm saying. When in Sahih Muslim, Haqqul Muslim ala al-Muslim sit. The right and duty of a Muslim upon a Muslim are 6. Qeel ma hunna ya Rasulullah. He said, what are they, O Messenger of Allah? And he says in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, إِذَا لَقِيْتَهُ فَسَلَّمْ عَلَيْهِ, if he meets her or meets him or her, then to say salam to him or her. And the Hams one, the 5 one, said, رَدُّ السَّلَام, to respond to the salam, to reply to the salam. Yeah, I'll come back to that. وَإِذَا دَعَاكَ فَأَجِبْهُ, And when he or she is invited to answer the invitation, and we talked about that last time, about what kind of invitation and what kind of situations. وَإِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَكَ فَانْصَحْ لَهُ. And when he or she seeks nasiha, advice, then he or she should give the advice, yeah, duty. وَإِذَا عَطَسَ فَحَمِدَ اللَّهُ فَسَمَّتْهُ. And when he or she sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, فَسَمَّتْهُ, we said they should say يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ or فَشَمَّتْهُ, same meaning, with a sheen or a seen. And we talked a bit about that last time. وَإِذَا مَرِضَ فَعُدْهُ. And when he or she falls ill, to visit them. وَإِذَا مَاتَ فَاتَّبِعْ. And when he or she dies, that he or she should be followed. And we'll explain that today, because we didn't get to that stage, I don't think. Coming back, I wanted to mention a few points first. About salam, I mentioned the things last time. Yeah, and from the hadith, you could get the idea from Muslim hadith that the duty is to give the salam, like an obligation. But if you take all the narrations, yeah, many of them mentioned raddus salam is a duty too. So actually, it's good for both, because there are mutawatir ahadith saying that the best is the one who begins with the salam, right? The best person is the one who begins with salam. Nevertheless, I mentioned Hassan al-Basri and his statement, which is mentioned by Imam al-Bukhari in his Adab al-Mufrad, and saying, At-taslim tatawwa wa radd farida. Wa raddu farida. That to say salam is mustahab, highly recommended, but to respond back is a fard, when somebody's actually said it to you, okay? So it still doesn't take away from the fact that we are very much encouraged to say salam, yeah? And better to say the salam first, because there's greater reward in that. But once somebody says it, to respond is an obligation and a right on the one who's given you salam. They have a right on you, okay? Now, you notice in the hadith the various things. Salam, nasiha, itba' when somebody dies, that means janazah, prayer and burial, okay? Responding to an invitation, yeah, is there. And when somebody sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, to respond to that, we yarhamukallah. Is that gender-based? I'm asking you very quick, because this is a very important point I'm going to make. Is this only for males? Where does it say this is only for males? Except the fact it's using masculine. But no scholar understands that this is for men, duty to men only. Yeah, because it'd be stupidity and totally flawed argument. So this is all Muslim to Muslim. Muslim to Muslim means male and female. Yeah. So when I say, when we meet brothers and sisters in Islam, along the way, anywhere in the world, not just in the masjid, should we say salam to each other? That's what it's saying. Some scholars actually even said from this hadith that it's obligatory to even say salam. But I believe the best opinion is mustahab, certainly. Yeah. Why they say that as well? Like Hassan al-Basri said, the great tabi'i, and I'm more of that inclined to that opinion as well, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, which inclines toward the response again, because he says, "Wa idha huyyitum bitahiyatin," yeah, "fahayyu bi ahsana minha aw rudduha." إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسِيبًا. Yeah. So Allah says, when you are greeted with a greeting, that covers all greetings, by the way, not just salam, because it doesn't say when you're greeted with salam. When you are greeted with a greeting, yeah, then respond back to it with something better, or at least return the same. And to respond back to it with something better or at least return the same is an obligation. It's an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And notice the order is to respond, not to do the first. وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُمْ, when you are greeted. But that's why scholars made the greeting mustahab and the response from this verse, which is an order, a fard. With me? Fard. Because this ayah is telling you, you must respond back with something better or at least equivalent. Surely Allah takes account of all things, yeah, including this. So firstly, that includes somebody saying good morning to you, good afternoon, good evening, hello, yeah, all greetings. Yeah. As long as the greeting doesn't have any shirk in it. Yeah. Well, obviously, we don't give shirk back. But most greetings people use around the world doesn't have shirk in it. Yeah. So good morning, if somebody says it to me, I don't just ignore them. At least I say, good morning, how are you? Yeah. Better if you can, because that's what the Quran's saying. Yeah. Or at least equivalent. Right. Is that for male and female again? Is the Quran talking about just male? No. No. Interesting thing, therefore, and I said earlier, so the greeting issue will come to Muslim and non-Muslim in a minute. Let's just talk about Muslim, because the ayah is not referring to Muslim and non-Muslim, by the way. I've just translated. When you are greeted with a greeting, Allah's saying in the Quran, yeah, you must respond with something better or equivalent. That's general. That's everybody. It's talking to Muslims. It's talking to Muslims that you must respond, but the when you are greeted is left open. You with me? Your greeting comes from anywhere. Yeah, that's being left open. And you have to respond. So we'll come back to that. But if you apply the ahadith haq, haqqul muslim ala al-muslim, Muslim upon Muslim, not Muslim male upon Muslim male, Muslim upon Muslim, is to say salam, highly recommended. When it's said, you must respond. Okay. We have a culture, and I've talked about it before in my khutbahs. Nobody takes any notice because I think maybe I've lost it somewhere. I meet our sisters, not even in the supermarket, but coming out of the mosque. And I'm going into the mosque or coming out and they're coming in, right? And I'm not even one of the ordinary Muslims walking in. I'm one of the imams here, the khatibs, and they know it, right? And I say salam. 95% of the time, I don't get any response. What's the problem? Is the voice aura? This is nonsense. I can't speak. But I tell you, as I said before, if a teacher said good morning or salam, or the milkman said hello, good morning, they'd say good morning. So, and this is a culture out there, and it needs to change. And I've told our sisters before who don't respond that I have a right on the reply, obligated in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And you have taken my right. And that right, where will it be settled? Yes, for the salam even. Yes, look what Allah said in the Quran when mentioned greeting. How does the verse end? إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسِيبًا. Surely Allah takes account of all things. In other words, don't think this is trivial. You're not responding to the greeting. Yeah? Even if I said good morning to a Muslim sister, she has a duty to respond to me with good morning. Not say what kind of Muslim is this is saying good morning. Are we allowed to say good morning, by the way? Of course we are. Where does it say you're not allowed to say good morning or good afternoon? Hello? As we do. So that's the other thing. But saying salam, you know, I've taken it to a different level. And a sister should actually say salam to a Muslim person if they know going by. That's recommended, but amongst brothers and sisters in Islam. Not just coming in and out of the mosque, but you expect even more so because you're coming in and out of the mosque. This is a cultural mentality that is against the Quran and Sunnah. Let me not mince my words. It is against the Quran and Sunnah to not respond. I don't know where it comes from. Is it lack of trust of a Muslim man that if you say wa alaikum as-salam, that he's going to read something into it? Is that where it's from? I don't know. Because if it is from that, it's sick. I don't mean Sikhism sick. I mean mard. It is a sickness if we're thinking that. Yeah. Then Quran and Sunnah would have explained very clearly, only for men to men and women to women. You're not allowed to say salam to women, and women can't respond back to men with salam. Wouldn't they have to clarify that? And it doesn't. And anybody who reads from this is only for males, is absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Yeah. So Muslim sisters, yeah, in our company says, sneezes and says, Alhamdulillah, I don't say Yarahmukillah. That's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Yeah. We don't have a duty as Muslims. From this hadith is a duty of doing janaza on Muslims. Yeah. So we say, oh, it's a Muslim sister. It doesn't apply to me. Yeah? Just for women to women. So you're going to go down that road to differentiate, then you differentiate in all of them. So salam is included here, just like the rest. Yeah. So very important this is. Some say, it is said, she just said, wa alaikum salam, very quietly, but you didn't hear it. Is that acceptable? It is not acceptable. The salam, wa alaikum salam, is not to myself. Neither is it to Allah. The wa alaikum as-salam is to the person who's given you salam. And if you didn't, if you haven't said it, you know, you haven't said it. You can't get away with that nonsense. Don't play games with Islam. Yeah. So some people might think this is trivial. I don't think this is trivial because the Quran doesn't make it trivial. The greeting and responding to the Quran hasn't made it trivial. That's why end of the ayah is always very important, isn't it? It's telling you how serious this is. Don't think it's trivial. Yeah. And hence the ahadith to do with it as well. Now can we come to the issue of greeting non-Muslims? The Quranic ayah is telling you to respond an obligation to non-Muslim say greeting to you in whatever language it is, telling you it's an obligation. Didn't mention the word salam. وَإِذَا هُيِّيْتُمْ, you have an obligation to respond. Yeah. What if the person's non-Muslim says, Assalamu alaikum? What's the Quran telling us to say?
Same or better.
Yeah, it's saying same or better. And what's better? Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Yeah? Or wa alaikum assalam at least. Yes? The only way that's not going to happen is something else has come to stop me from doing that, from evidence, from the Quran and Sunnah. Right? If something comes from the Quran to us, just prevent me from responding like that. And I tell you, there's nothing. Some say that the Prophet ﷺ only responded by saying, wa alaikum. This is some opinion. What do you think they based that on? I did this when we did the seerah. I'm sure I covered this topic. They based it on authentic ahadith when some Jews in Medina said to the Prophet ﷺ, not assalamu alaikum. They said, salamu alaikum. May you be dead. Right? Prophet ﷺ, I'm not going to say wa alaikum as-salam back to them. But he didn't say any more than that. He just said, wa alaikum. Because Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha said a lot more. Yeah? Oh, you family of pigs and khinzir and monkeys. That's what she said. And the Prophet told her off for fahisha. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Didn't you hear what they said, Ya Rasulullah? He said, yes, I did. And I gave the response, wa alaykum. But you've gone too far. In fahisha, in lewd words, insult. Don't. He stopped Umm Mu'min Aisha from doing that. Okay? You cannot use that evidence to say when somebody says, actually, Salaamu Alaikum to you, that I say Wa Alaikum. Can you? They're saying, may you perish. And in that context, the Prophet says Wa Alaikum. Now they come and say, the rest, not, those were some, not all Jews, those were some at the time. You can't use that evidence to say when somebody comes and says, Assalamu Alaikum, say Wa Alaikum. You can't use that as an evidence. It's nonsense to use that as an evidence. You understand? But some people try and use that and say, you can only say Wa Alaikum. Now, the bigger issue is saying salam to non-Muslims ourselves. Instead of them initiating, we initiate and say, Assalamu Alaikum. Now comes a debate amongst the fuqaha and ulama. Why? Because of the hadith in Abu Dawud and in Muslim, which says, La tabda'u al-Yahuda wa al-Nasara bi-salam. Yeah. But it doesn't stop there. Okay. Where have I gone? Yeah. وَإِذَا لَقِيتُمُوهُمْ فِي الطَّرِيقِ فَاتَّرُّوهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَضْيَقَ الطَّرِيقِ. And when you meet them on a path, then shove them to the narrowest part of the road. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim and Abu Dawud. It's authentic. The application is the issue. Because what the people who say don't begin salam with non-Muslims living in this country, etc., many imams use this hadith. Interestingly, they use the first part of it and not the second part. You can't play games like that. If you're going to follow this hadith in the context you are, right? You're meeting non-Muslims, so you don't begin with salam. What else is it telling you to do? It's telling you to push them, yeah, on the road as you're going by them, or in the corridor, in the hospital, or at school, to push them into the corner like that. That's exactly what the hadith is saying. So why are you only taking the first part of the hadith? Why don't you do the rest as well then? Why am I saying that? Because the hadith must have a context. It cannot be generally applied. That's why they don't apply the second part, because they know it doesn't make sense to apply it. My work colleagues at work, right? So I say, I can't say salam to them. Well, if you can't, then you must do the second part as well. Why aren't you doing that? Because you would think this is not nice. So the whole hadith must be taken. If you're going to follow the first part, you must follow the second part. The only way to understand this hadith is first to look at the Quran and look at other ahadith. And it'll give you a context then, a very limited context of enmity. Yeah. And enmity in more in a Muslim environment, Muslim state. Yeah. In the time of very possible critical time of warfare. Yeah. Even then, you have other hadith about the dhimmi, the citizen in a Muslim state, and not treating them badly. Yeah. And we mentioned it before, how the person, yeah, who does that, and the person who harms a dhimmi, a citizen in a Muslim country, how they won't even smell the fragrance of paradise. It's that serious. So that needs to be looked at in the context. Personally, this hadith, I have issues with it, even though it's in Sahih Muslim and Abi Dawood. I don't say it's not authentic. Yeah? It needs further study to it, because it's a mushkil hadith, a difficult hadith. The only way to understand it is in a war context. It needs to be pigeonholed, because look what the rest of the Quran and hadith are saying. So it's an exception. limited, cannot be applied general, because the Quran overrules it. The Quran's saying, إِذَا حُيِّيْتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ, that one as well, although that verse I've mentioned is talking about responding, so that's why they'll say, oh, it's responding's all right, but you're not allowed to start the salam. Well, then we have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah Al-Furqan, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And when you engage in conversation with jahilun, the ignorant folk, Allah doesn't use jahilun for Muslims. Yeah? Talking about non-Muslims. In other words, don't carry on conversing when they're speaking rubbish or insult. Then, qalu salama, say salam. You're saying salam to them. Allah is saying qalu, say salam to them. All right? Then we have another verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and that was Surah 25, verse 63. Now, Surah 28, verse 55. وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا لَغْوًا وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا اللَّغْوَ أَعْرَضُوا عَنْ وَقَالُوا لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ لَا نَبْتَغِي الْجَاهِلِينَ. Yeah. When you hear, when they hear useless, vain talk, they turn away. Talking about believers. When they hear from other people useless, vain talk, yeah, they turn away from that and they say, Lana a'maluna, for us our deeds and for you your deeds. Yeah. For us our deeds and for you your deeds. Salamun alaykum. Describing believers saying to the disbeliever, Salamun alaykum. The Quran saying it. So they're saying that to who? To disbelievers, as they turn away from them. Yeah, because they're involved in nonsense, rubbish talk, which is not befitting a believer. Yeah. So salamun alaykum. And it showing again that you leave with dignity. You leave with dignity by saying salamun alaykum, not to believers. It's taking the same believers and saying it to disbelievers. Then you have Ibrahim alayhi salam saying to his father, qala salamun alayk, sa'astaghfiru laka rabbi. Salam upon you. What was he? Not just a mushrik. He wanted his own son to be tortured and killed. He wanted to hit him himself. And he says to him, salam alayk, before he leaves. So why is Ibrahim alayhi salam saying salam in the Quran to a disbeliever who's an enemy, in fact, saying salamun alayk, I shall ask forgiveness for you. Another part, Surah Zukhruf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of the surah, وَقِيلِهِ يَا رَبِّ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّهَا أُولَاءِ قَوْمٌ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ فَاصْفَحْ عَنْهُمْ وَقُلْ سَلَامٌ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. So withdraw for them and say salam. Soon they will realize. Yeah? We're talking about إِنَّهَا أُولَاءِ قَوْمٌ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. These are people, they will not believe and they don't believe. Fasfah anhum. So withdraw from them. Waqul salam. And say salam. Yeah, soon they will find out. But look at all these places. All of them are talking about saying salam to non-Muslims. So how can you have now one hadith to counter and go against the Quran? That's very difficult. Yeah. So you have to put it in a pigeonhole context, or you have to check it properly. You cannot go against all these ayat of the Quran. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi didn't come to go against the Quran, but to follow the Quran and exemplify it. Then to exemplify it further, you have the idea from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi in many ahadith where he says, Afshu Salam. Abdullah ibn Salam, Abdullah ibn Salam, who was a Jew, became a believer, said the first thing the Prophet ﷺ came, when he came to Medina, I heard him, and that's when he became a believer. This is authentic hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, Afshu salam wa at'imu ta'am. Yeah, spread salam. And there in Medina were believers and disbelievers. In fact, believers and disbelievers gathered when he was making this comment. Afshu salam bainakum. Spread salam between you. Yeah. Not limiting it only to Muslims. Yeah. Then in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, Sallim ala man arafta wa man la ta'arif. Say salam to the one you know and the one you don't know. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah. So these evidences, yeah, in the multitude outweigh one hadith which is coming with, not on its own about not initiating salam, but with something which you wouldn't practice. It would be uncouth behavior for us living in this country with our colleagues at work, neighbors, etc., to practice that, push them along the wall as we're going by them. Yeah. So if you're not going to do that, then also the first part doesn't apply in our context. Yeah. Use the general of the Quran and multitude of hadith and many verses in the Quran about saying salam. And the Quran, many places, have you noticed, most of the time is saying salam to people who are behaving badly with you. They're actually showing enmity. Not good neighbors and colleagues at work. You're still saying salam as you walk away from them in the Quran. So what is the situation with people who are our colleagues and neighbors and we have good relationship? More, isn't it? And more right for our salam. So that's what I say. And since the issue of salam came from this hadith, I thought that's important. And this is a topic that has ikhtilaf in it, no doubt. But I believe that is the best opinion, that it's absolutely fine to initiate salam with non-Muslims. Yeah. And it is still an obligation to say, when they say salam to you, wa alaikum as-salam wa rahmatullah, or any other greeting, to greet back. So I hope that clarifies that. The other, last time I mentioned about the sneezing issue, and I wanted to add one or two things to that. This hadith is in Ahmad al-Bukhari and Nasa'i, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said from Abi Huraira, qala Nabi sallallahu, inna Allah yuhibbul utas wa yakrahu at-tasa'ub. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the sneeze or the sneezing, but dislikes yawning. Yawning. فَإِذَا عَطِسَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. If one of you therefore sneezes, he should say Alhamdulillah. فَإِنَّ حَقًّا عَلَى الْمَنْ سَمِعَهُ أَنْ يَكُولْ يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهِ. And it is a duty on one who hears him or her that he or she says يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهِ. Yep. وَإِمَّا تَثَاؤُبْ. As for yawning, فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. For surely it is from shaitan. فَإِذَا تَثَاؤُبَ أَحْدُكُمْ فَلْيَرُدَّهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْ. فَإِنَّ أَحْدَكُمْ إِذَا قَالَ هَا هَا دَحِكَ الشَّيْطَانِ مِنْهُ. So when one of you yawns, he should try and cover, other ahadith come as well, cover the mouth and control it as much as possible. Yeah. And if anybody goes ha ha like that without trying to control it, reduce it or cover it, shaitan laughs at that person. What does all that mean? I really don't know. And I don't think any scholar really knows. This is to do with ilmul ghaib. Why shaitan laughs at the yawning person, people gave some explanation, but nobody really knows. Why does Allah dislike yawning? Nobody really knows. But the yawning, I mean, we don't even understand medically why we yawn, do we? Nobody still understood it till this day. Yeah? So, obviously, it's linked with something ghaib. That Allah only knows. What we do is follow the sunnah of Rasulullah that Allah, that he says, control it and cover our mouth. That's all we need to know. That's all we need to know. It's very difficult to understand the rest because it's linked with ilmul ghaib. So you'll be guessing because there's no other hadith or Quranic verse that explains why. Yeah? So that's where I leave it. But it's authentic to control the yawn. And from being from shaitan, yeah, means it's negative. Doesn't mean they say that shaitan is instrumenting your yawn. Allah controls everything. You understand what I'm saying? So that's a misunderstanding to think that. And I've already said last time that it's when somebody says, Alhamdulillah, then you respond with Yarhamukallah. Otherwise, you do not respond with Yarhamukallah. That is the sunnah of Abdul Qasim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah? Of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also, and this is male and female. Again, yeah, not just we don't respond because a woman sneezed and we do when a man sneezes or vice versa. And then, finally, just to clarify that, in one hadith, it's Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi, which is authentic hadith, and Salma ibn al-Aqwa, that an Abihi from his father, that anna rajulan atwasa, that a person sneezed in the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqala lahu yarhamukallah. So he said yarhamukallah because he must have said alhamdulillah. Other ahadith will clarify you. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said yarhamukallah until they said alhamdulillah. Thumma atasa thaniya aw thalitha. Then he sneezed a second or third time. Qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hatha rajul mazkum. He didn't respond with yarhamukallah three times, one after the other. So he said, this person's got a cold. Yeah. In other words, if somebody's got cold or hay fever and they keep sneezing, you don't have to sit there constantly going, yarhamukallah, yarhamukallah, yarhamukallah. Yeah. So the Prophet made it easier. So either on the second or the third, yeah, the person can carry on saying alhamdulillah as much as they want. You don't have to respond anymore. Yeah. That's important for us to know as a ruling. Now, we mentioned about the ill person last time, and Nasiha mentioned about, so that's five of them, the invitation we mentioned. The last one I want to mention, which is وَإِذَا مَاتَ فَاتَّبِعْهُ, when he or she dies, to follow him or her. What does that mean? That means going to the funeral, right? Either to do Salatul Janazah or Salatul Janazah and the burial. And in this regard, there are various ahadith. Abu Huraira reports, radiallahu an, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for the one who, I'll just give you a summary of it. He said, if one goes and attends the Salatul Janazah and the burial and then comes back, then their reward is 2 qirat. Yeah. And if they attend the Salatul Janazah and come back, then their reward is 1 qirat. And the qirat, 1 qirat is equivalent of the mountain of Uhud in reward. In Sahih Muslim, when this is mentioned, the hadith is mentioned by Khabbab to Abdullah ibn Umar, that Abu Huraira said this. So Abdullah ibn Umar says to Khabbab, go to Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha. Because Abdullah ibn Umar never heard of this hadith. This is Sahaba cross-checking now, cross-referencing. And I mentioned this to you before about Abu Huraira and the respect he had. Yeah. So Khabbab goes to, he said, go and ask her and come back and tell me what she said. He went there and asked Ummul Mu'min Aisha radiallahu anha, came back to Abdullah and Umar and said that Ummul Mu'minin Aisha said, Sadaqa Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira spoke the truth. It is true what he said. So Abdullah Umar said, unfortunately, we have then neglected so many kirat of rewards all this time. Because he only realized then, yes. So that's just about the janazah and the reward. And of course, Salatul Janazah and the burial is fardu kifaya, not fardu ayn. Yeah. Everybody's agreed from the ulama. Everybody cannot attend. Everybody can't even attend salah, which is the fara'id, fardu ayn. They can't attend in a masjid, meaning everybody should do it. It's fardu ayn for them to do anywhere on the earth. But salatul janazah can only be where the body is, really. Yeah, you have a salatul janazah al-ghaib. Yeah. And there's different opinion of the ulama. When are you allowed to do it? If they've not had the salatul janazah, others say, no, you can do it a second time if you weren't there in that country. But all of it is, yeah, the actual salatul janazah is fardu kifaya. Some Muslims must attend and do the salatul janazah and the burial, which releases everybody of their responsibility. Yeah. So when it mentions here as a right and an obligation for every Muslim on other Muslims, it's talking about the community here. Yeah, community. Fardu kifaya means that. But if nobody from the community goes salatul janazah, we're all culpable. That's what it means, that there is a duty and a right for a Muslim upon a Muslim here. Yeah? In the following of the dead person. It means salatul janazah and burial. Okay? Now, just that's to add to what we've said from the hadith that we're covering, hadith 26, about sadaqah and about smiling and about helping people, etc. And we covered a whole load of things. This is especially for Muslims on top of that. Yeah, these six duties and rights. Now, so we talked before, linked with the previous hadith, about sadaqah, which was monetary, yeah, whether obligatory or voluntarily sadaqah, zakah or sadaqah, yeah. And the last hadith I mentioned for those who didn't have wealth. Then there was sadaqah towards others, yeah, human beings, which we've all been talking about, yeah, kind of sadaqah, yeah. And then we've talked about now duty and responsibility to Muslims, which is also be counted under sadaqah, although they're obligations. Yeah. Comes under kullu ma'ruf sadaqah. Yeah. Then there's a sadaqah, which is a sadaqah to yourself. Yeah. When the Prophet ﷺ said in the previous hadith that we did, and even in the version of this hadith, yeah, in this version in Sahih Muslim, yusbihu ala kulli sulama min ahadikum sadaqa. Yeah, every morning on every joint of one of you is a charity. فَكُلُّ تَسْبِيحَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ. But every subhanAllah is a sadaqah, similar to the previous hadith. But I'm telling you the one with the joints mentioned, that even that has this idea. تَسْبِيحَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَكُلُّ تَحْمِيدَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَكُلُّ. Every alhamdulillah sadaqah is a charity. كل تهليلة every لا إله إلا الله إذا صدقة، وكل تكبيرة صدقة every الله أكبر، وأمر بالمعروف صدقة، ونهي عن المنكر which was mentioned in the, these are all, so that's why I said these hadith are interchangeable. Now, so when we're doing, as I said with the previous hadith, dhikr, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, that is a sadaqah to myself. Because Allah doesn't need my charity. Yeah, that is a sadaqah on myself, isn't it? Yeah, and that's why we'll come back to that point again. I've mentioned before that the greater rewardable and more virtuous sadaqah is helping others. And when you're unable to do that, some of the hadith gives you the idea, then you do this, at least do this, or do this as well is even better. Yeah, do this as well and it's even better. So this sadaqah is sadaqah to yourself. Because all of this will be multiplied. And Prophet Sallallahu calling it a sadaqah, when he calls it a sadaqah, he means to yourself. Included in that is also in this hadith in Sahih Muslim, which is from Abi Dharr. And remember, the last hadith to do with sadaqah in all things was by Abi Dharr as well, hadith number 25. In this version, in Sahih Muslim, Abi Dharr says, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَيُّ الْأَعْمَالِ أَفْضَلُ, which are the most virtuous deeds? قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ الْإِيمَانُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِهِ, to believe in Allah and to do jihad in his way. Now, this jihad in his way can refer to fighting in the way of Allah. The context tells you. But normally jihad is a wide topic of struggling in the way of Allah. But you'll see from what follows that all of what he's mentioning after it is struggling in the way of Allah, if you mention it in a general sense. Yeah? But put your life at risk, that's what he's saying, is that is from the most virtuous of good deeds. That's what he's talking about, isn't he? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال قلت أي الرقاب أفضل. Abu Dharr says, I said then, which slave releasing is the most virtuous? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yeah, أنفسها عند أهلها وأكثرها ثمنا. The one that is most valuable to their owner and most expensive to, of course, yeah. So this is the time of course, slavery at that time. To free that person, of course, is more valuable, is more rewardable. Yeah. Then he said, I said, فَإِن لَمْ أَفَلْ, and what if I can't do any of this? قال صلى الله عليه وسلم تُعِينُ صَانِئًا أَوْ تَصْنَعُ لِأَخْرَكُ, that you help, yeah, to manufacture something, to make something, which is, in other words, beneficial. أَوْ تَصْنَعُ لِأَخْرَكُ, oh, make something yourself for somebody who's unable to make anything. Anyway, again, it's something to benefit others, making something. Yeah, out of pottery, out of clay, making a dress, whatever. All of that is covered in this. And to give to somebody, to help them. قال قلت يا رسول الله أرأيت إن ضعفت عن بعض العمل. What he said, O Messenger of Allah, what do you consider if I'm unable to do some of these things? قال صلى الله عليه وسلم تكف شرك عن الناس فَإِنَّهَا صَدَقَةٌ مِنْكَ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ, then hold back your evil or harm from people, for surely that is a sadaqah from you to yourself. Holding back your harm, that will be harm from your tongue and your behavior from other people, yeah, will be a sadaqah from you to yourself. So I was thinking about this. I was saying, why is this not a sadaqah to the people I'm holding harm from? Because when I'm holding harm back from them, I'm not actually giving them anything. I'm actually stopping myself being destroyed. So it's a sadaqa to myself. Because they won't notice that I'm holding the harm back, in a sense, really. Yeah, it's not like I'm giving them something, then I'm giving a sadaqa to them of all the things we mentioned before. Now, to hold back harm from them, Prophet ﷺ said, this is a sadaqa from you to yourself. Yeah, which really fits with what I mentioned before. I'm going to mention it again. It fits with the hadith about Manil Muflis, who is the bankrupt one. Yeah. Which I'll mention now. I lost it somewhere. Yeah, it fits with the hadith. And it also fits with the idea of doing good to people is more virtuous, what I've said before, than just doing your dhikr. Same with keeping harm away from people is much more beneficial. Yeah, because all your dhikr and all your works, including salah and siyam, can all be finished and cancelled away with the harm you've done to people. Yeah, including you've not done any good to them either. Yeah, benefiting and helping others always takes greater priority. So in this hadith in Abi Dawood, the Prophet ﷺ, which is reported by Abi Darda, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أخبركم بأفضل من درجة الصيام والصلاة والصدقة. Shall I not tell you of that which is more excellent in degree and reward, in other words, than fasting and salah and sadaqah? Now it's talking about monetary sadaqah. Context tells you. Yeah? Shall I not tell you that which is more virtuous, yeah, in degree than fasting and salah and sadaqah? Subhanallah, you see, and this hadith tells you which is more virtuous. Of course, it's talking about voluntary fasting, extra salahs, nawafil, sunnah, all the various kinds, and sadaqah, which is voluntary sadaqah, not zakah. That's not included here. Qalu bala, they said, indeed, O Messenger of Allah, he said, Islahu zat al bayn, to make good between two people. That was included in the hadith of sadaqah, wasn't it? Yeah. So that includes all the other things as well. Its indication is helping others and benefiting others is much more beneficial than your extra private prayers, etc. Spend more time helping others. Because Allah loves that. That's more virtuous. If you're able to. That's why in various hadith, you notice the Sahaba say, Ya Rasul, what if I can't? You know, I'm weak, I'm in a wheelchair, I have to walk with a stick, I'm not going to be helping other people much, am I? Then he gives the advice of doing Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, go and do Salatul Duha extra if you're able to. You understand? Context of that. But if you can do, and you're healthy and mobile and able to, and you have the opportunity, then go and do these things instead. Yeah, of helping others. وَفَسَادُ ذَاتَ الْبَيْنِ, because that same hadith in Abu Dawood, because bad situation between people is الْحَالِقَ, it is destructive. Yeah, and in one version he said, لَا أَقُولْ تَحْلِقُ الشَّعْرِ, حَالِقَ, حَالِق is the barber who removes your hair and or shaves it as well, known as, yeah, yeah, from that's halaq, is to remove the hair. So that's why in another version in Tirmidhi and Ahmad, the Prophet ﷺ said, this is halaqa, la akul tahliqu ash-sha'r, I don't say it will remove away your hair, walakin tahliqu ad-din, but it will remove the deen. Yeah, it will remove the deen. Fasad between people corruption and bad behavior will destroy the deen. Yeah, beautiful how the Prophet used that term from the barbers and applied it to the deen. That's why he says, I'm not talking about hair removal. I'm talking about deen's going to be finished and shaved away. So in line with that, yeah, then you understand why, in line with what I've just said, the Prophet ﷺ said in authentic hadith, which is reported by Al-Bukhari in his Adab al-Mufrad, Sahaba said, Fulana tu'raf bi kasratu salatiha wa siyamiha. So-and-so woman is known for lots of prayers and lots of fasting, meaning extra voluntary. And in one riwayah says, Taqumul layl wa tasumun nahar wa tasaddaku. She stands in the night in long prayers, fast during the day, and she gives away in charity, wealth, money. وَلَكِنْ تُؤْذِي جِيرَانَهَا بِلِسَانِهَا. However, she is nasty with her tongue to her neighbor. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ لَا خَيْرْ فِيهَا. There is no good in her. She's doing salah. She's giving sadaqah. She's doing fasting, extra, all of it. What did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? There's no good in her. Yeah? Hiya min ahlin nar. She is from the people of hellfire. Then they said, Qalu wa fulana tusalli al-maktuba. There's such and such a woman. She prays her 5 daily obligatory fards. 2 fard in the morning, 4 for dhuhr. That's what it means, salatul maktuba. Yeah, 4 for asr, 3 for maghrib, 4 for isha. That's it. Yeah, that's all she does. Fulana tusalli al-maktuba. وَتَصَدَّقُوا بِأَثْوَارِ. And she gives just some curdled milk as a charity, very little. وَلَا تُؤْذِي أَحَدًا. She doesn't insult or harm anybody. قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ هِيَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. She'll be from the people of paradise. Can't make any clearer than that, can you? What's the priority in people's lives? That's why some scholars say about if you've got money, that all these people going for Umrah, every few months Umrah, they say it is a grip, because who are you benefiting? Yeah, even some Saudi scholars said this as well, when I read their fatwa on this, and others I have great respect for. Sheikh Qardawi said this many years ago. Salman Al-Awda, who's in prison now in Saudi Arabia, great scholar as well, even though from Saudi, said this and wrote a book on this, yeah, that instead of spending this extra that you're doing benefit for yourself, benefit poor people, Muslims, a daughter who they can't marry because they haven't got this, or living in wretched conditions, give that money there. It will be much more. It is a higher degree than your Umrah. Number 2, he said, not only in Umrah are you benefiting yourself spiritually by the large number of gathering every time, you are harming other people by the pushing and shoving because it's too congested. And that is great wisdom from and great scholarship. Yeah, and of course, there's others responding and said, how could you say that, blah, blah, blah. But this is deep thinking, yeah, and deep scholarship to see what has priority. Yeah, helping others. Yeah, some widow who needs your money, some daughter they cannot marry off, she sat at home. Is that more important or your repeated umrahs? It's in line with what I'm talking about in these hadith. And the hadith of the Muflis, I'll end with today, which is in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said to Sahaba, Atadruna mal muflis. Do you realize what a bankrupt one is? Bankrupt one. Qalu al muflis fina ma la dirham lahu wala mata. A bankrupt one amongst us, or Messenger of Allah, is the one who hasn't got a penny. They haven't got any dirham or dinar. They've got nothing. They're bankrupt. Faqala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Innal muflis min ummati. Surely the bankrupt one from my ummati, in reality, this is the bankrupt one, he's saying. Ya'ti yawm al-qiyamah, will come on the day of judgment. Bi salatin wa siyamin wa zakatin, will come with salah, fasting and zakah. Now, when he says zakah, he's talking about even the obligatory prayers, the obligatory fasting, and the obligatory zakah he or she has paid, what, never mind the voluntary on top of that, وَيَأْتِي قَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا, and then comes the one who he insulted. شَتَمَ means direct insult, backbite, slander, all these kind of things that many people are busy doing with their tongue. وَقَذَفَ هَذَا, and slandered so-and-so, the person. وَأَكَلَ مَالْ هَذَا, and the one who devoured the wealth of so-and-so through, yeah, doing dodgy deals. They done them out of it. Yeah. وَسَفَكَ دَمْ هَذَا, and killed so-and-so. وَضَرَبَ هَذَا, and hit so-and-so. Yeah. فَيُعْتَ هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ, and that person, all these people are queuing up, they're given from those fasting and fasting and zakah and salah that this person was doing, all those rewards are being given as compensation to all these people who've got complaints against this person. It doesn't finish there. فَإِنْ فَنِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُ, and when his good deeds or hers runs out, Prophet ﷺ saying, قَبْلَ أَنْ يُقْضَى, before the queue's finished and compensations happen, his or her good deeds have all gone. مَا عَلَيْهِ يُقْضَى عَلَيْهِ, and before things are finished and settled, أُخِذَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ فَطُرِحَتْ عَلَيْهِ. So now Allah will start taking from the sins on all these people who got complaints or in the queue, take their sins, and they'll be thrown on this person, and the person will be thrown in the fire. He or she's got nothing left, despite all the fasting and all the prayers and all the zakah, all disappeared. I'm not telling you, Prophet ﷺ told you, this is the bankrupt person. So it's all linked with behavior, isn't it? Yeah. So virtuous good behavior, holding back any harm to others, It is the center and the key of this deen. Yeah. So much so, even though salah is the first thing to ask about on the Day of Judgment, no doubt the message isn't to stop those. The message is these must go hand in hand with good behavior towards people. Otherwise, you're going to be bankrupt on the Day of Judgment. That's the message, isn't it? That's the message. So, we'll finish there. I haven't finished, I'm afraid. I'm finished with the hadith. There's two important points which we'll cover next time, inshallah. Any questions before we have the adhan?